SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in game time decisions on this first Friday of October the 4th. Welcome in. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by here on the Sports Grid Network as we get ready for one of the best weekends in sports that we can think of in a very, very long time. When you consider the fact that in addition to week 6 of the college football season, you've got week 5 of the NFL season already kicked off last night with a great game between Tampa Bay and the Atlanta Falcons, one that was decided in overtime. And boy, it helps to win that coin toss if you're the Falcons and have Kirk Cousins as your quarterback, as it took them all of a couple of plays to take it to the house there and beat their rival in that division, the Tampa Bay Bucks, in what was really the most entertaining Thursday night game that we have seen in a long, long time here. And boy, this is going to be a very interesting NFC South division moving forward, especially with the Bucks on their way to take on the Saints, and the Falcons will be on their way to the Panthers. But in addition to week 5 matchups in the NFL, including a London game early on Sunday morning, you also have tomorrow the Major League playoffs, and all 4 divisional matchups will be in play tomorrow, including the Guardians and Detroit, the Yankees taking on the Royals, the Mets in epic fashion last night, get it done against the Milwaukee Brewers. Now they'll get to take on their division rival, the Philadelphia Phillies. And then, of course, the series that will no doubt move the needle the most, the Padres taking on the Dodgers, a battle of National League West rivals there. Boy, it should be a fantastic weekend. Not to mention, we had an NHL game already today here. Hockey is back. Season in full swing on Tuesday. You got MLS, you got a big UFC 307 card coming up. You've got Canadian Football League action. What else could you possibly want? It is the most beautiful time of year when it comes to sports. We got a little something for everybody. And let's face it, who doesn't love urgency? And the Major League Baseball playoffs, it's all about urgency right now. Another short series in store for these teams here, best of 5. And I'm hard-pressed to look at this list of games coming up and try to point out where the underdog has a legit shot of winning out. Now, we saw in the wild card round, and we know, and we talked about it all week long, how in the wild card best of 3, the variance is over the top with this. There's really moving forward underdogs, and more underdogs in the wild card series. Best of 3, anything can happen. Throw out the 162 game season and just look to back the teams that are riding the hot hand, because that is essentially what we got in that first round. The Detroit Tigers taking down the Houston Astros. Hilarious. The Guardians already had clinched, were there. And then you couple the fact that the Orioles managed to score 3 runs in 2 games and win and sweep the Baltimore Orioles, who were the top wildcard team, who finished just behind the New York Yankees. So that is the best of 3. The best of 5 is a little bit different, given the fact that in all likelihood, the teams that had the rest are going to be able to set up their rotations a little bit better than the teams that had to play in the wild card. So the Yankees, for instance, are going to have Gerrit Cole on the mound there tomorrow as they get ready to take on the Kansas City Royals, who opted to go with Waka in game 1, and then they'll have Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo for games 2 and 3. The Yankees are the biggest favorite, as you can see on the board there. in these divisional series, and with good reason. I mean, hey, listen, you score three runs in a couple of games, you limp into the playoffs to begin with, the Kansas City Royals, and all of a sudden your pitching and your bullpen becomes unhittable. And a lot of that, give them credit for, but also give the Baltimore Ravens a lot of criticism, the Baltimore Orioles, give them a lot of criticism, because the fact that you can get shut out at home in game one and manage just one solo home run in an elimination spot at home is just purely embarrassing, especially taking on a team that during the final month of the regular season in September couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. And they still couldn't, but neither could they. This is going to be, I'm going to venture to say, three runs in this series is not going to be enough to take down the Yankees. The Yankees, to me, in this series are clearly the team that in all likelihood will win. They're the biggest favorite. But when you look at the rest of these series, the Guardians are a small favorite over the Detroit Tigers. They played the series this year in their own division. The Guardians won seven games. Detroit won six. So this was a very close season series throughout. Now, on paper, the Guardians are a much better team than the Detroit Tigers, who a month ago we were all laughing at the idea that they'd even be in the postseason. There's no way we're going to get three teams from the American League Central in the postseason. Want to bet? Because that's exactly what we have here. But these two teams know each other very well. The interesting part is that they have not played one another for a hot minute. It's been a little while since these two teams actually went at it. Detroit is clearly a different team now than when they were playing the bulk of these games during the regular season. And look at that price, minus 130. Some Guardian backers will tell you that this is just way too short a number for a team that's got better hitting, better defense, better bullpen. There is no way that they should only be a minus 130 favorite. Well, I think Detroit's very much alive in this one. And I think with Tarik Skubal going in game one, if that's the direction they're going to go, then yes, Detroit wins game one. I think Detroit's very alive to win this series. I can say the same thing about the Mets. Anybody stepping in front of the Mets train right now, when you look at that series price, the New York Mets as a short dog here have absolutely no advantages as far as I'm concerned with the starting pitching. Philadelphia has been sitting here waiting. They're going to go Zach Wheeler. They're going to go Nolan. Does it really matter? The series could be over by that point. But we could say this for the Mets down the entire stretch here. They've been hobbling guys. They activated Kodai Senga off the they're going to put him on the roster to start game one. Kodai Senga hasn't been healthy, it feels like, in forever, but somehow they are going to hobble together a pitching staff and roll it out here against the Phillies, who I still worry played their best baseball in the first half of the season and not the second half. The Mets are a runaway train and very much alive in that series against the Phillies. And I think we can all agree that the Padres, many people believe, is the team to beat in the National League. And you look at those numbers there, that's a pretty decent number to go up against the Dodgers. They have been the best team in baseball for how long now? And the Dodgers have been middle of the road since the All-Star break. Why not go with the hot hand? So outside of the Yankees as a $2 favorite in the series, every other dog in the series, best of five, to me, is very much alive and well. And this could very well be total craziness over the next week in Major League Baseball. So buckle up. You got to love the postseason. It starts tomorrow. All four of those series will take center stage, plus college football, plus NFL. And we'll dive into it all as Game Time Decisions continues here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Welcome back in Game Time Decisions on this Friday here, October the 4th. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by as we get ready for the first weekend in October, and it is an epic one. And we talked about Major League Baseball, the postseason underway tomorrow. We are that much closer to crowning a World Series champion there. We've got college football in full effect. NFL, NHL is back. The NBA is playing preseason games. And oh yeah, the WNBA playoffs. We still got to crown a champion there. And we're going to be a little bit closer after tonight. That's where the coach, James Young, steps in here, helping us cash a couple of tickets before it's all said and done. And coach, it's been an interesting playoff so far in these two series with these four teams left. We'll start with the Minnesota Lynx and the Connecticut Sun coming up 7:30 here tonight in game three. I got a lot of guys telling me, coach, that I need to run and bet the Minnesota Lynx to win the championship now at about 4 or 5 to 1. I don't even know that they get past the Connecticut Sun here. How confident are you?
First things first, I got to do it. Meet the Mets. Greet the
Mets. Oh, no.
Okay, that was enough. That's for Miakovsky. But anyway, listen, when it comes down to it, this series, Joe, is what I love about playoff basketball, right? Trash talk, the defense, the half court. So to me, this series, even though that over-under is at 150.5, and I think the other one is at like a 163, 164.5, doesn't it seem like this game is going to play to the under? You have two teams that are extremely good defensively. You have two teams that walk the ball up the floor. I think this is a low-scoring game. I feel right now the way that the Liberty are playing, and Sandy Bordello kind of will talk about it in a second, kind of putting Leona Farmich into the starting lineup has been something that was very smart. It balances the team because you're going to bring Vandersloot in with the second group, and then Sloot can still play down the stretch. I think they're the best team in the W. But to me, this game is going to be about defense, particularly, Joe, at the three-point line. You look at game one, right? The worst shooting team in the WNBA from three, Connecticut. They shoot 40% from three. They steal home court. Game two, what happens? Minnesota shoots at 40% from three. And then you get, obviously, Connecticut down to 25%. I love the under in this game of 150.5. I wouldn't be surprised if it went under 140. I think this is going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight. They're going to let them decide it themselves. And Marina Mabry to lead the game and three-pointers made. Why? It's not the shots you make. It's the shots you take. And she's averaging 10.3 three-point attempts so far this postseason. She is their shooter. Marina Mabry, plus money, lead the game in threes made.
So how about a correlation here, Coach? Because Nafisa Collier is the leading scorer tonight and in this game. Then chances are they're winning, right? If not, this game is probably going the other way, and it's probably staying way under, no? So there's a couple of different props and game outcomes you can probably correlate here. I got to think if she goes off, they win the game.
Yeah, if you think – listen – and she had, Joe, she didn't have her worst game of, like, the season. She had 9 points. You know, one other time she had 9 points, 6 rebounds. Guess who? Connecticut Sun. Okay? Mm-hmm. So they think they maybe unlocked something here. I think Big Fish follows up with a big performance. If you look at her performance last time, she had 9 points, 6 rebounds. She came out of the Olympic break with 17 and 12. Nafisa Collier is a double-double. Another thing I like tonight a lot. I think she gets going. And if you want to put a PRA together, how about Alyssa Thomas? Alyssa Thomas, you know, Joe, she's going to get the rebounds and the assists.
Yeah.
But you've seen an uptick in scoring in her, kind of carrying on the load more than she has during the regular season. When you look at someone Alyssa Thomas, you know, she's scoring 16.5 points per game during the playoffs. Oof. So she averaged 10.6 during the regular season. Yep. So there's a play there. Alyssa Thomas, PRA, I think it's 32.5, if I'm not mistaken. Look for that to go over as well. Stars will shine tonight.
I love it. All right, it's win or go home here for the Aces, coach. The champs back against the wall at home. A lot of star power in this game, but I almost feel like the Aces in the first half isn't a bad look. If they don't come out swinging, I don't know that they're going to have enough to come back in this game in the second half. What are you thinking?
Very simple. Aces have to play with the lead. And you bring up a really great point, Joe. I think, and I didn't even talk about it. I think one of the best, I might even go to half. I'm going to go first quarter. I may just say flat out. Right now, first quarter spread is minus 145. I just need them to win the first quarter. If you really think about it, folks, Becky Hammon had a press conference after game two and basically trashed her team to the media. Like they haven't done it all year. So if you are a team like Vegas, you gotta come out and you gotta throw the first punch. And you got to punch, early, and you have to play with the lead, because especially the way that Sabrina Ionescu is playing down the fourth quarter of games, that makes you think that they got to play with the lead. I think the Aces are going to win it outright, the game. And if you want to take the first quarter, go ahead for them to win. And I'm going to say this. If the Liberty win, it's going to be in the last minute. I got a feeling that the Aces win, and I think it's going to be a blowout. I think they win by double digits tonight, because maybe Sandy Bordello will punt the game and say, we got to save up for game number four.
It's interesting, Coach. When I looked it up, they're 0-5 against the Liberty this year, right? And they haven't won a first half either. They've been trailing at the break in every one of those losses there. So to your point, they better play with the lead here, Coach. And who leads them tonight?
Oh, simply put, Asia Wilson. But Kelsey Plum, Lord have mercy. She couldn't be any worse than she was in game number two. They come back. This is going four games.
Four games. You heard it here from the coach. A lot of different ways to approach these props, sides, totals, halves, series. Always a pleasure, Coach. Enjoy the games. Brother, we'll talk to you again. Championship time. Game time decisions continues after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on this Friday on the Sports Grid Network. I'm Joe Ranieri. Appreciate you stopping by here as we are getting ready for that first weekend in October, and what a weekend it is. And yes, the NHL is back. We're right in the midst here, month number two of the NFL season, week five, kicking off last night in epic fashion. We've got a London game coming up this Sunday, so we got early morning football to wake up to on Sunday. That's always fun. And then, of course, week six of the college football season is here. We had a couple of games last night. We got a couple of really good games coming up here tonight that we're going to be looking forward to, including the red-hot running Rebels. UNLV going to be taking center stage as they host Syracuse tonight. And Syracuse, interesting spread in this game here with the Cues getting 6 points, 5.5, 6 points here. It was as high as 6.5. It looks like the buyback is happening here. And UNLV last week made headlines because their quarterback, Matthew Sluka, decided that, you know what? Yeah, I'm out of here. You're not paying me enough money. Welcome to the new college football. That's what we have to look forward to, because the NCAA are complete, you know what? Instead of trying to navigate this Pandora's box they opened up, they're just throwing their hands up and hoping it all works out. It's not going to work out. And Matthew Sluka was just the first of many dominoes that are about to fall here, I think, over the next week or so, as we just learned of another player for the University of Central Florida, UCF wide receiver, has now stepped down saying he's going to hit the portal because there's not enough money. So There is this whole thing is not going to go any away anytime soon, and that's because the NCAA has completely screwed this up. However, you got rid of Matthew Sluka. He steps down, and guess what? The market went crazy fading them last week with Fresno State, and guess what they did? They absolutely boat raced Fresno State. Why? Because it turns out the backup quarterback was every bit as good and reliable as Matthew Sluka was. So welcome to college football and college sports, where the overreactions are plentiful. Now they're at home. They're welcoming in a Syracuse team that, if we're being honest, and this is what this game comes down to, Syracuse can't stop the run. They're a very good pass defending team. The problem with UNLV's offense, yeah, they run the ball 71% of the time, 71%, and they're really good at it. And the Orange, well, they got no answer to that. Offensively, the only thing they can't run the ball and the only thing they can do is drop McCord back to throw the ball 35, 45 times a game. That is a recipe for disaster on the road here. Sorry, too one-dimensional Syracuse for me. I like UNLV's strength on offense, which is running the ball, going right at the heart of the weakness of that defense of Syracuse. They are at home. I do think UNLV rolls them here tonight. The total has been bet down. We had 58.5. I'm starting to see 55.5 now in the marketplace. So that is a 3-point drop. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that UNLV, go, go, go. They are going to control the possessions. They're going to control time of possession. And the UNLV defense, much better than people are giving them credit for. And I think you'll see that here tonight in a very one-dimensional Syracuse team. So I agree with the push to the under. The other game you're going to hear a lot about here tonight is Michigan State on the road against Oregon, laying 23.5 points. Michigan State, with Jonathan Smith, their head coach, former Oregon State head coach, knows Oregon real well. He also happens to be one of the more profitable underdog coaches in all of college football. They have been very competitive, Michigan State. They're going to be very competitive in this game. In the meantime, Oregon, boy, they got a pretty big game on deck here. Might be looking ahead a little bit past Michigan State. Wouldn't shock me. Oregon will win, but it wouldn't shock me if it's not by 4 touchdowns like the market seems to think is going to happen. So those are two big games coming up. We've got plenty of other top 25 games coming up tomorrow here as week 6 of the college football season should be epic, and we've got much more on the slate of games coming up next here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back. Game Time Decisions here on this Friday. Thanks so much for making us a part of your weekend. Epic weekend, of course, in sports. You got to love the first weekend in October. And it great slate of games tonight in college football. And here to break down some of the bigger games for us this weekend, the one and only, the legendary Colby Dan in the house, man, ready to go. I heard a rumor talking. You might be in attendance in an Arizona State-Kansas game coming up tomorrow. I've already put the call in. We've got bail money all set for you, Colby, so you'll be all right, man. Let the hair down and go to town in Tempe tomorrow. But let's start tonight here. I just talked about UNLV and Syracuse. Syracuse heading out to UNLV. Syracuse is no good against the run, and that's all UNLV is going to do here in this game. McCord's going to drop back 40 times and try to pass on him. I just don't. It feels like I get the market wants Syracuse to be better, but I don't know that Syracuse is better than UNLV. What do you think?
Yeah, I lean Orangeman here, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that they were a great – UNLV's a great rushing team with Sluka. Haj Malik Williams is more of a passing quarterback. Now, he can run a little bit. I think he had like 90-some yards last week. It'll be interesting to see if that's going to be sustainable against the Cuse. But I just think at the skill position players, Syracuse can really give them some problems. From Aronde Gadsden Jr. to LaQuint Allen, they're a pretty well balanced offense, I think. And I think the Cuse in general. You go back to the last time they played a Power Five. They got very fortunate to beat Kansas. I think Syracuse can come in there and get the win, especially knowing that they've kind of had 2 weeks to prep for this with the bye week in Holy Cross.
So what you're saying is there's a chance, and hold on, Colby, we'll get the microphone all situated in that one. That game, by the way, coming up, it looks like, I believe that one is at 7. Actually, no, that's going to be at 9 o'clock Eastern time here tonight, that Syracuse UNLV game. We do have Michigan State at Oregon coming up right around 9 o'clock Eastern time as well. And in that game right now, we're seeing the market continue to move towards Oregon here. 24 is starting to pop up. That's just way, and I mean just way too many points here for a Michigan State team with Jonathan Smith, who is without a doubt got this Michigan State team playing hard. They may not be the most talented team, but they're coming off a 38-7 loss to Ohio State. But I think they're going to be very competitive in this game. Plus, who knows? You knows Oregon better than Jonathan Smith, who the former Oregon State head coach, as we welcome back in Colby Dan. And Colby, it just feels like this is a ton of points, and the back door is going to be wide open given the fact of what Oregon's got coming up here. I can't run to the window and lay 23.5 here, can you?
No, not at all. I mean, the fact that Jonathan Smith, former Beaver quarterback that won a Fiesta Bowl there, and the fact that he coached there. So I think he really knows what Autzen Stadium's like. And then you look at the look-ahead spot with Ohio State on deck. And really, I'm someone that has an Oregon future to win the national championship. They haven't looked the part all year. They didn't cover against UCLA. Idaho almost got them in game one. Boise should have got them. So I think you take the points all day here. And another thing is Aiden Childs was a part of that Oregon State team as well last season. So it's his second year prepping for a day landing defense. That's always a little bit of an edge there.
Two spots coming up this weekend. Very tricky because your mind tells you one thing, but you look at it and go, I should probably back Georgia at any price to beat Auburn because they're going to be pretty pissed off. But it also feels like this could be a big time flat spot for Georgia. And the same thing with Alabama, Colby. It took a lot out of them to beat Georgia. How much can we trust either team to back this weekend?
I think you could trust the Bulldogs. Now, I like Vandy with the points, I guess, if I had to choose against Bama. But I think you got to roll with the Bulldogs here. And I think a lot of it has to do with, yes, they lost, but more so the other side. I don't know about that Auburn locker room. Hugh Freeze will blame everybody but himself. And to me, that I was on Oklahoma last week. They probably had no business winning that game. But this has kind of been the MO of Auburn with Hugh Freeze there. So I like taking the Dogs minus the points there. It seems like a dumpster fire in Auburn there.
Love this game in the ACC coming up tomorrow. How about Boston College, who threw a knuckleball to people against Western Kentucky and decided that Castellanos all of a sudden couldn't play last Friday. And boy, did that number. If you got the 13 earlier in the week, you were laughing watching this game. But give BC credit, even with Grayson James at quarterback, they came back and won that game somehow. They got Virginia and Thomas Castellanos back under center here, but boy, this feels like a coin flip game. Virginia at home, what are you thinking?
No, I lean Boston College, mainly just because Virginia's home environment is normally just pretty empty. It's like one of my comedy shows. There's about 12 people there. And you add in O'Brien. Like Bill O'Brien, there's something about an O'Brien coaching Boston College, right? I just feel like whether it's Tom O'Brien, whether it's Bill O'Brien, you get coaching there, you start looking good. Castellanos, as long as he's healthy, I will say this. If he re-injures something, you're probably going to be cooked. But another thing is on the other side of the ball, Anthony Calandria with UVA. He's an exciting sophomore, but he is a wild card. Throws a lot of terrible passes. At the end of the day, I'm going to go with the better line of scrimmage, and Boston College is better on the offensive defensive line.
All right, so you're heading to Tempe to check out Arizona State and Kansas tomorrow. What about the other team from Arizona? As the Wildcats welcome in Texas Tech, I can't imagine sweating out an under in this game. I How are either team stopping one another? There might be 100 points in this game when it's all said and done, Colby.
Yeah, and look, I think the better side is just to take Arizona. What a huge win in Salt Lake City last week. They're coming back. I can understand people thinking letdown spot, but Texas Tech's 0-1 on the road. They lost at Washington State. I just don't buy in with this Texas Tech team whenever they hit the road. So going out there to Arizona Stadium there in Tucson, Fafita and McMillan, Noah Fafita, the sophomore quarterback, and Tetaroa McMillan, I think is the best QB wide receiver combo in the country. So I like jumping over there and taking Arizona at home. I also think they have a coaching edge here with Brent Brennan as well.
Yeah, well, McGuire and Texas Tech have been awful underdogs on the road forever, it feels like. They just never cover anything. They're brutal. But there also feels like there's going to be a ton of points in Tennessee and Arkansas. Another one I can't imagine sweating an under in here. Tennessee coming off the bye. Pittman has been really good in this spot as a dog. They're at home. That's going to be, what, a 7:30 nighttime there in Arkansas? What do you think?
Yeah, I think Arkansas, the more I did a deep dive on Tennessee, yes, they look good, and yes, their schedule breaks nice, and they should be probably in the mix for the 12-team playoff. But when you look at NC State, Oklahoma, and Kent State, the three FBS teams they've faced, all three are in the bottom 15 in offense. So I don't know if their defense really is that good. I think Sam pulled pork Pittman there, and Bobby Petrino with Taylen Green, the Boise State quarterback. I think they might be able to exploit this defense for maybe, you know, them puffing up the stats and not being as good at home with that crowd behind them. Give me the Razorbacks to cover, and I think they might be in play for a money line spot there.
What are you thinking about? I don't understand the fascination with Texas A&M. I don't like them. I thought they should have lost last week against Arkansas. They got the freshman Reed at quarterback. Wegman may play, may not, but I think he's overrated anyway. Missouri on the road has been really good coming out of a bye. Is there any reason we should not be looking at Missouri here?
Yeah, I mean, I just think Mike Elko is a very good defensive coach, you know, and I think he can pose some problems.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Curry hasn't looked the part to me. They should have lost to Vanderbilt to me, you know, and on the other side of that, I hope Wegman doesn't play because I think Reed, the freshman, the more mobile quarterback, can give more problems. You look at what has Missouri struggled with? Boston College and Thomas Castellanos, mobile quarterback. Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt, mobile quarterback. I think you want the mobile quarterback in this spot. Eileen Aggies.
All right, Colby Dan, my man. Safe trip to Tempe. Enjoy the game, brother. Game Time Decisions returns here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid. Never a very happy Friday to you. What a Friday it is as we head into the first weekend of October with so much going on in the world of sports. Major League Baseball will be front and center tomorrow as not one, not two, not three, but all four divisional matchups will take center stage. Why they opted to go head-to-head with college football and not on a Friday is a little strange, but that's what we got going on to open the weekend here. And George Kurtz ready for some Major League Baseball here. And Kurtz, I said earlier, I look at all four of these series, and outside of the Yankees and Royals, every dog to me is live in a five-game set here, whether it be Detroit, whether it be the Mets, whether it be the they all feel live. The only one that doesn't is the Royals, who will be lucky to score, what, three runs in the entire series here, it feels like. Do you see it the same, or do you think this is all chalk here moving forward?
Well, three warrant runs was enough for them to beat Baltimore, wasn't it? That's exactly what they scored. 1-0, 2-1. So, listen, do I think the Yankees are going to win? Yeah. And I'm from the negative Yankee fan, right? I'm usually that guy who tells you, oh, my God, the sky's falling. The roof is collapsing here. This brings back memories of the 70s and 80s if you're a Yankee fan. I do go back that far. Chris Chambliss, Gossage, Nettles, George Brett, Amos Otis, Freddie Potts. I could go on and on here. Frank White and company there. So it does bring back memories. But everything is falling the Yankees' way. The number one team they wanted to see gone, Houston, gone. Baltimore gave them problems all season long, gone. You're playing a Royals team that, listen, Regan's good pitcher, right? Walker, good pitcher. Lugo, good pitcher. But they're not dominating. They shouldn't be able to shut the Yankees down. All right, the Yankees have their own issues. Don't get me wrong, right? I mean, we know what defense is iffy, to say put it least. I don't know who's going to hit outside of Soto and Judge. But Cole's lined up the pitch, and yeah, he should be fine. The Yankees haven't played in 6 days. You know, that could be a problem tomorrow, Joe. Neither have by the way, the Yankees and Guardians, by the way, think about it. They will play 3 games in 10 days. You know, they're not playing Saturday. They're playing Monday. They're playing Wednesday. 3 games in 10 days they will have played. These two teams could get off to a little bit of a slow start here. That being said, like the Yankees here, Cleveland, you know, Scooble's going to be able to go twice in that series, man. I kind of like Detroit. I think I would take the plus money with Detroit here. I do. I like San Diego over the Dodgers here, but that's close. What's changed my mind on that series is Musgrove being out now, right? He's got Tommy John. He's done. So I think that really does put it towards the Dodgers. But I think that series is going 5 games. Joe, so I think it's a long series there. It could go either way. But give me the Dodgers now that Musgrove is out there. I do like the Phillies over the Mets, but that's a rivalry. Those two teams don't like each other at all. But I'll take the Phillies to win that one as well in 5.
Problem I have with that series is that, you know, it's funny the way the schedule works here. Having looked at it, Kurt, the American League teams will only play one back-to-back day. The National League teams play back-to-back twice, and that's not good for a team like the Dodgers, who can't figure out who the hell they're throwing out as a starting pitcher from game to game. Having to go back-to-back like that twice in a series is not going to be easy. Plus, I think the Padres have the better bullpen. So even without Musgrove, it feels like advantage Padres, but the market, I'm shocked at this price. Has anybody been better than the Padres since the All-Star break? I just don't understand how in the what happens if the Padres win game one? What's the number switch to here, Kurtz? Are they the favorite?
Oh, they're definitely. I think any team that wins game one is going to be the favorite, right? You're only going to win 2 more games. You know, Padres win game one, it'll certainly be a big boost because the Dodgers, you just said it, their starting pitching doesn't go deep. And I don't think there's any doubt, by the way, that the bullpen for San Diego is better. I don't even think that's a debate. Right, but Dodgers bullpen is listen, Kopech has stabilized things, right? He has stabilized things in the ninth inning there. But other than that, I don't know if I trust anybody else in that bullpen. The problem with the Dodgers is going to be this. Yamamoto, okay, I think he'll be good tomorrow. I think. We haven't seen a lot of them, but I think he'll be good. Yeah. Flaherty has been good. I still don't know how the Baltimore Orioles allowed Flaherty to get out of the American League and how they didn't acquire him, but whatever. And then after that, you don't know. Right, Buehler's been a softball pitcher. He's not that guy. This is what worries you about the Dodgers. They do have to outslug these teams. All right, Landon Knack, I know he's going to be the number 4 starter. He's probably number 3 in my mind. He's better than Buehler right now. So if Yamamoto or Flaherty falter, yeah, the Dodgers are in a lot of trouble here. Because as much as we love their lineup, yeah, Ohtani, you know, he's a freak. All right, Hernandez, great year. Freeman will be back, by the way. He's healthy. He's playing. Mookie Betts, superstar. Generally, though, offense doesn't truly win it for you in the playoffs, right? Pitching calms that down. You need to pitch. You need to play defense. You need the bullpen. Dodgers, they're a little shaky in starting pitching. I don't trust the bullpen here. Defense is fine. So, as I said, I think the series is going 5. Whoever makes, the least amount of mistakes in game 5 wins.
Interesting stat, too, that I saw here, Kurtz, is that the San Diego Padres starting pitchers this year in 13 games held the Dodgers to a 198 batting average. 198. The damage was done versus the Padres relievers as not the starter. So there could be some first 5 plays in that series for us before it's all said and done. And what do you think? Kodai Senga off the scrap. What? I mean, the Mets are literally holding tryouts for pitchers now, Kurtz, the rest of the way through here. And you know what? Probably won't matter. They're probably still going to beat the Phillies here. It's kind of hard to believe, but Kodai Senga is your game 1 starter.
that's just throwing mud against the wall, see if it sticks. How far, I mean, yep. What are you going to get from him? What can he do? I mean, some of the theory of thinking here may be, you're facing Zach Wheeler anyway. Well, let's give it a shot. You know, it's a game we're not expected to win, so why not just throw Seng in there, see if he can give us something. I'm not surprised he's back. I might have thought of it more as a reliever because that's, they have all sorts of issues in the bullpen. So I might have thought it would have been there, but I think it's just that they feel like there's nothing to lose here. Why not throw him for game one, see what happens?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting how the rotation lines up there. But rest versus rust, it's a legit concern for some of these game ones here. Like you, and don't forget, the Guardians, their last game of the regular season was postponed. It was canceled altogether. So they haven't played in even longer than anybody else. And yet you got the Mets and Detroit. Like, these teams have all been playing, and you get that mojo rolling. It's why Arizona and Texas were in the World Series last year, because they never stopped playing. So it'll be interesting. We'll talk some NFL with George Gertz when Game Time Decisions continues on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in Game Time Decisions here on the Sports Grid Network as we round out this first hour together. George Kurtz in the house as we get ready for week five here, Kurtz. Great game last night, maybe the best game we've seen on a Thursday night all season long. That was a lot of fun. And now we get our very first Sunday morning football here with the Jets taking on Minnesota in London. And, man, it just feels like everybody loves this Minnesota team now. And, boy, is this not a buy low, sell high spot with these two teams. What do you think we're going to get here early Saturday morning? That line has not moved, Kurtz. For the amount of public support for Minnesota, and that line has not moved past 2.5, I find that interesting.
Well, it's our Sam Darnold revenge game, right? Zach Wilson yeah. just got some level of revenge last week. We didn't play, but Broncos win. Darnold is going to play. He's been playing well. All right, now, I don't want to say I give the Jets a pass, but last week it was miserable here in New York. All right, it was cold. Yeah. It was rainy. It was just a miserable day, and the Jets had all sorts of issues. Problem is it can be that way in England, too. I think it's 50-50 from rain there on Sunday, so we'll see how that goes. I can't like the Jets. Even in their wins, I mean, come on, you beat Tennessee, you got lucky because Levis, and you beat New England, it was terrible. All right, so you haven't beaten anybody mm-hmm. yet. You win on Sunday, okay, I may change my mind here. This is a good Minnesota team. People forget how well Brian Flores, all right, maybe not in the second half versus Green Bay last week, but he's had a really good season turning that defense around as well. I think the numbers are about right here. I do like the Vikings to win. There'll be a small play because it's the morning game. If this is an afternoon game, I probably wouldn't touch it. But it's the morning game. I'm doing FST during it, so it'll be something to root for here. Give me the Vikings here. 40.5, I can't go on. I'm going to go over. I don't feel great about it because the Jets are having trouble scoring here. But give me the over here just on, I guess, on principle. We'll go the over and the Vikings.
Big one in with Baltimore and Cincinnati for the AFC North there. Another one of these where hovering around 2.5, Cincinnati. The home dog here getting some help back on the defensive side. B.J. Hill will be back at nose tackle there. Murphy, their rookie, he'll be in the lineup. Hendrickson is going to give it a go here. And well, we all know Baltimore can't run, and you got to rely on Lamar's arm. You ain't beating toe-for-toe with Joe Burrow in that offense here, are you?
Generally, in these games, Baltimore wins, but Cincinnati scores points. They're high-scoring games in Cincinnati and Baltimore. Yep. Cincinnati's going to have to prove to me they can stop anybody, before I start betting on them. All right, it's nice that I think Burrow's going to put it up his points. I do. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I'm on the over again here, 48.5. Give me that. I'm betting on Henry to get an anytime touchdown. Once again, until somebody can stop him, everybody knows he's getting the ball. It doesn't matter. All right, right now nobody can stop him. The fact that they're getting some players back certainly helps, but they could be rust there as well. Henry, anytime touchdown, I think the passing game will work better, not be great. I'm not expecting big games from Zay Flowers or Bateman. And remember that guy Mark Andrews? No idea what's going on with him, but I'm on the over and Baltimore.
Over and Baltimore there. We also have an interesting one When it comes to the Giants heading out to Seattle, we've learned that Neighbors is out now, concussion protocol. It feels like Seattle should win this game by a million, but it's still, you know who at quarterback for Seattle, that former Jet guys, Geno Smith could throw four interceptions and lose this game single-handedly. I feel like that game is still coming for Geno Smith this year, Kurtz. What do you think of the Giants' chances to keep it within the number at this point?
Nah, this is an ass-kicking. I think this is complete ass-kicking, all right? Giants are taking a long trip out to the Northwest. There, you mentioned no Malik Neighbors. If they had Neighbors, I think this could have been a shootout here. I do like Wandale Robinson's props. All right, I think he's going to be that guy who catches a million little balls for, you know, eight catches, 78 yards, something like that. Fantasy-wise, maybe gets it to the end zone, get you that big day, but I would bet on his touchdown prop. But I love this game for Seattle here. I think Geno's going to throw for a million yards. I think, listen, all your Seahawks eat. I think the Seahawks cover here. I think the game could get over, but the problem is the Giants, they're selling the field goals over and over and over again. They can't put the ball in the end zone here. It's my only worry about the overs. You're going to need the Seahawks to do a lot of that, a lot of their own lifting here, but I like the Hawks big time.
Cowboys Steelers over or under in this one?
I think it's an under. Cowboys are a mess, right? No Parsons, no Lawrence here. Even Diggs is banged up here. It's only CeeDee Lamb, and Pittsburgh will try and take him away. No running game here. Ferguson could have a nice game. I love Fields this week. Fields going to get over his rushing prop. I think he has a big game throwing the ball as well here. I think Pittsburgh wins. Pittsburgh covers.
Pittsburgh at home, getting that 2.5. That total is coming down a little bit here. George, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the games this week. Game Time Decisions, another hour next here on the grid.